Good morning, Baltimore. Welcome to the first episode of the Fantasy Power Hour. I am Adam Bonacorsi with Russell Street Report, joined by Kurt Backert of Pro Football Researchers Association. And we are live from Conrad Seafood, 9654 Bel Air Road in Perry Hall, Maryland.
Yep, fantastic place.
Good morning, Kurt. How are we today?
Wonderful, wonderful. Man, middle of football season doesn't get better than this, does it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we're right in the, you know, right in the thrush of autumn here, so.
Oh, absolutely.
Feels and, like football, you know, ready to go.
We're here to talk fantasy today with you guys for the next hour, go over some of the games coming up today, tomorrow, and really get down to it and see who we should be starting, who should be sitting, and any of those guys that might be sleeping out there we can throw in before these 1 o'clock games roll around.
Yeah, the hidden gems out there. That's the key. Find the hidden gems.
Absolutely. So without further ado, let's crack in.
Let's get started.
Absolutely.
Where are we going to start first?
So here? I'm going to start with the Ravens at the Panthers.
We're going to head down south.
Yep, might as well start with our boys in the backyard here in Baltimore, playing down in Carolina this week. 2.5-point favorite on the road. Always interesting to see the road team favored. Especially against the Panthers team, who's had a couple fourth-quarter comebacks here recently in recent weeks. So right out of the gates, let's look at the Ravens' defense run. They are seventh against the run and second against the pass. They stay up there despite playing the Saints last week and the 17 fourth-quarter points that they allowed. It's always good to see the Ravens staying that high. Panthers, eighth against the run, 17th against the pass. So ultimately, your thought is, hey, let's see the Ravens pass, go a little pass heavy here, and that's exactly what I expect them to do. That being said, I'm still not starting Joe Flacco this week. If you are in a position where you have a quarterback you want to buy, you need a guy in there, yeah, go ahead and start Joe. But if you got a starter that's healthy that you've been starting every week running out there, he's not your guy this week. 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions on the season. Ironically, matches Cam Newton in the passing game. You know, we don't have to necessarily get into the rushing game, although I will tell you this. Cam Newton... we can jump into this. 52 rushes, 257 yards, and 3 rushing touchdowns on the ground. So there's the difference between Joe and Cam.
Yeah, but Joe Flacco is the best Ravens runner inside the tackles. Nobody sneaks the ball better than him this year, even better than Tom Brady this
year. Which is phenomenal, the way they're using the tight ends now as a lead for those running plays.
It's a weapon now. It's
absolutely
a weapon.
I love it. I love that part of the offense. I don't love all the offense. I love that part. So Smoke is going to be your starter without questions. John Brown, 28 receptions, 558 yards, 4 touchdowns. He came back to life last week. 7 catches on 7 targets. Always great to see. 134 yards and a touchdown. So I think he's getting hot. I think we're going to see the resurgence now. And I really think that's due to Crabtree and Willie Snead contributing the last few weeks, really not giving defenses a shot to say, hey, let's focus on Smoke while the other guys are underperforming.
They can't rotate passes. The coverage. You can't bring the safety over the top as they used to be able to do.
Precisely. So that's how I'm looking at this game. Smoke is your star. Crab and Snead, they're going to be in there as a flex. And then to slide over the tight end, so this is interesting for me. I'm looking at the Ravens' tight ends. I don't know who you're calling their number one tight end right now, which is a good thing for the purpose of the team itself. For fantasy purposes, it's awful. You don't know who you're going to lead with. Max Williams has been seeing more run plays. Again, lead blocker in a few of them here. Mark Andrews has probably been the best of the bunch right now. Hayden Hurst still working his way in, and Nick Boyle's really faded into the background here. So that being said, last week against the Panthers, Ertz and Goedert with the Eagles, 13 receptions, 181 yards, and a touchdown.
Goedert got in today, by the way.
There you go. So, and you look at this, and you say, all right, you got to focus on the tight ends. From a fantasy perspective, I don't know who you're focusing on here. Yeah. I honestly don't. So, for me, I'm still not going to play the Ravens tight ends in this game. It may come back and bite me, or it may be a spread wealth. Hey, everybody's getting 3 catches and 50 yards. Great. But I'm not feeling great about it. And then, I guess, let's touch on the last guy on the Ravens here with Alex Collins. 3.6 yards per carry. The offensive line is still injured, missing 2 starters again this week, so they'll start Orlando Brown at right tackle, and Alex Lewis is out again. So you have an injured line. You have a running back who doesn't have the speed to get outside despite the play calling constantly heading to the outside. What do you do there? And for me, again, it's one of those things with Flacco. If you got the space to you, if you need him, you guys on a bye, you know, then go ahead and start Alex Collins. I'm not feeling great, and it would not surprise me if Buck Allen had the same amount of fantasy points in a PPR league as Alex Collins does this week, if not more.
Something tells me, though, the future holds for the young man from Rutgers, Gus Edwards.
Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing?
He's a veteran inside the tackles.
Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? So let's touch quickly on the Panthers here. So, again, Cam Newton, pass defense be damned, honestly. Ravens second against the pass, like we said. I think Cam's run game is strong, and not to compare him to Taysom Hill. I will not in any way compare him to Taysom Hill, but you look what Taysom Hill did last week. A guy who's not a threat against the pass at all, and he was still able to do some damage against the Ravens in clutch and crucial plays for the Saints. So you get a big-bodied quarterback who can run the ball, he can get outside, he can strip tackles. He's going to make some plays. He's going to break some yards out there. And I think Cam is a guy you're definitely going to start this week. And then I guess my other big got-to-start guy is going to be run CMC with Christian McCaffrey. Again, the run defense for the Ravens is seventh. But McCaffrey, you know, 40 receptions, 289 yards, and a touchdown. That's what he's doing in the passing game.
Yeah.
He's an all-around threat. Great player. I'm starting him. Your second receptions on the team.
He's a Tariq Cohen kind of guy.
Absolutely. He's there. He's going to make his plays. Their number one receiver in Devin Funchess, 374 yards, 3 touchdowns on the year. I mean, he's a threat, but he's not a threat, if you get my point there. You know, flex him, and that's about as far as I would ever take him. He's not my top two for the team out there.
He has 5 drops this year, by the way.
And DJ Moore is up and coming for me. He's getting increased targets with every single week. And, again, you have a beat-up Ravens secondary without Humphrey again for another week. DJ Moore is going to see a couple deep shots, whether or not he can pull them in, be, you know, huge for the Panthers. And that's kind of where we are there. And actually, let me tap on Olsen real quick. He's coming back from that injury. Seems to be a trend for him the last 2 years. He's on a snap count. He's going to see some touches or some catches, I guess. He'll see some targets. It's not going to be enough to really, really drive him home. But again, we're in the thick of the buys. So this is a guy you might want to bring in there just to start. And Ian Thomas being the number two, I'm whatever.
Yeah, well, with tight ends at this point in the year, if you can get the fifth between 50 and 60 yards, you're a fantasy stud. And he's going to be there every week.
Absolutely.
Every week he's going to be there. He's a solid guy. So that wraps up Baltimore at
yes,
Carolina.
Sir.
My first game this week is what I call the sleeper game of the week. The Jets are at the Bears, a game that, you know, from a fantasy perspective, a lot of people would almost fall asleep on. Historically, these guys have played each other 11 times. They only average 37 points a game between the two. But Las Vegas tells me the over-under is 44. And in today's NFL, with the highest scoring season since 1950, even a team like the New York Jets have scoring threats. Even the worst offensive teams score. Not like when I was a kid a long, long time ago when losing teams would only score 7 points.
Right.
So let's hop into the New York Jets. My 27th-ranked quarterback this week is Sam Darnold. We don't want to touch him even in deep two-quarterback leagues. But he's going to get the ball out, and people are going to score, even though the fact that he's got Inanue and Robbie Anderson both injured, both have high ankle sprains, they're out. Here's my sleeper of the week as far as the passing game. Two guys. Jermaine Kearse is going to come pick it up.
Yep.
He had 9 for 94 against the Colts a couple weeks ago. And also the tight end Chris Herndon. 98 yards, 2 touchdowns the past 2 weeks. But here's the key. The Jets will score. They're not going to score on the ground. We'll get to that in a second. The Bears have allowed a touchdown to the tight end in 4 of the last 5 games. And when you get to this point of the season, especially with the tight end, which is the hardest position to predict in fantasy football, it always has been. It's not necessarily the individual, but it's the defense you're playing in the matchup.
Absolutely.
So Chris Herndon becomes a super play this week, and people wouldn't necessarily pick that up. He might only be ranked 22 on my list of tight ends this week, but as far as people needing a good tight end, here's a guy that you want to reach out to. So Chris Herndon. And Jermaine Kearse at wide receiver, he's going to be a threat today. They will score through the air on the Bears. Rishard Matthews just got signed from the Titans. He's actually going to see a few snaps today. Let's see how he plays in. Him and Andre Roberts will share the second wide receiver spot. But from the passing game, Jermaine Kearse and Chris Herndon are guys you need to keep an eye on. And if you have injuries or if you're faltering at the receiver spot, these are two guys you can go to that are clearly falling that sleeper category.
Absolutely.
Running the ball, the Bears only allow 87.5 yards a game. They're third against the run, and they're the only team in football they haven't allowed a rushing touchdown. And I certainly don't think a team like the New York Jets is going to be the first to push it over the goal line. Isaiah Crowell, who's my 16th-ranked running back this week, he's averaged less than 3.2 yards a carry in his last 5 games. And in those 5 games, he's averaged less than 40. He had the one big blowout game. That's it. He's not going to be a threat at all. He's way down my list, but again, he will get that goal line carry, and his threat today is at the goal line. But keep an eye on, there's a young man named Trenton Cannon who will come out of the backfield for Sam Darnold today, and this guy with Bilal Powell and Elijah McGuire are both out. This young guy catches the football. He has 24 receptions the past 5 weeks. He's a guy that can get you some points and a point per reception. So reviewing the Jets, they're not going to do much on the ground against the Bears, but keep an eye on Jermaine Kearse and Chris Herndon. They're your two guys for the Jets that I think can provide some value. That's from the Jets side of the football. Going to the Bears, Mitchell Trubisky. 334 yards and 11 touchdowns in his last three games, even though he's a Chicago Bear quarterback, and they haven't had an effective one since Sid Luckman in the 1940s.
Right.
He's probably their best stat quarterback since World War II. That's saying a lot. But he's always a threat. I've got him up as a starter this week. The Jets against the pass are 21st. They do have 10 interceptions. And Tremaine Brooks is going to be playing this week for the Jets. That's going to help them a little bit as far as the cornerback position, but they are down to their third-string free safety. So from a receiver position, everybody is hot on Trey Burton. Trey Burton had a huge game last week because the Patriots rotated coverage to take away Taylor Gabriel. They gave them Trey Burton. But he's such a talent, and the Jets are so banged up in the secondary. His 15 catches for 235 yards the last three games, 9 for 126 last week. He's my eighth-ranked tight end. You got to start him, and I know if you have him, you're starting him, and he's probably not available in too many leagues. But if he is, he's some guy to pick up. Wide receivers, though, today for the Bears, there's a host of them out there. Kevin White, Anthony Miller, but Taylor Gabriel is a guy that I think is going to turn into a star the second half of the season. 15 catches, 240 yards, a couple touchdowns the past couple weeks, even right, with the coverage rotating towards him. He's going to be the guy that's going to get the football and is going to have success. Allen Robinson's fighting a groin problem, so that makes Taylor Gabriel even that much more effective today. As far as the run game goes, here's a key stat. Jordan Howard, disappointment this year, right?
Yeah.
Compared to where he's been drafted.
Yep.
But the New York Jets, 15th against the run, allowing 105 yards a game. But the key with the Jets, they have allowed the number one back that they faced in all their losses to at least score two touchdowns. We can agree the Bears will probably win this football game.
Right.
Look for multiple touchdowns for Jordan Howard today.
Ooh.
Look for him to have multiple TDs. And also, seven of his last 14 carries have gone over for 7 yards. He's breaking tackles. He's gashing people. He's starting to really run the ball well. And then as far as the other running back position, Tariq Cohen, wow. He reminds me of a little guy, to you old-timers out there, named Mac Heron, who played on the Patriots in the 1970s, was only 5'3", but got open all the time and was strong, could run the football. This guy is absolutely incredible. Last week he had 4 receptions from the backfield, 4 receptions from the slot, 8 for 69 and a touchdown. Over the past couple games, 22 receptions, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 TDs in the last 3 games. You got to start this guy because the Jets are susceptible. So that's who my guys are this week. I love the backfield for the Bears and Taylor Gabriel and Trey Burton. But Taylor Gabriel's the surprise guy. But Jordan Howard, I got him ranked down at 21. He's been a disappointment. He breaks out today, multiple touchdowns for Jordan Howard. That's my strong pick of the week.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. So let's keep on moving here. I'm going to go ahead and jump to the other side of 295 here with the Skins, although they are in the Meadowlands this week or playing the Giants this week. So, again, I love to jump right into the defenses here. The Skins are 3rd against the run, 12th against the pass, Giants 20th against the run, and 14th against the pass. I'm going to jump right into the Giants, and I'm going to go right to Saquon Barkley. How can you not go to this guy? A disappointment for him this season, the rookie, was not breaking 100 total yards last week. It's the first time he hasn't broken 100 total yards in a game last week. The guy is unbelievable. So, full disclosure, fantasy drafts came around earlier this year, and I wasn't as high. Some people are taking him 5th, 6th, and, he's a rookie running back. The offensive line is bad. Let's hold off. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how bad the line is. It doesn't matter how confused Eli looks in the backfield. He's getting the ball in his hands no matter what, and they're starting to utilize him better. They haven't been. They could do better,
and I think they're going to continue to trend in the correct direction there.
Even if the Giants don't win another game this year, he's a must-start every week in
virtually
every format.
Absolutely. And it's funny to think that when you're talking about a team that's probably going to be down early in the game and will continue to be playing catch-up the whole game, but you put the ball in his hands and he's absolutely electric. It's one of the few backs in the league that you can trust to continue to give the ball when you're down multiple scores in the game.
Like Barry Sanders, when the Lions are only winning 3, 4, 5 games a year, he was still a threat.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying he's Barry Sanders yet.
Similar, yes.
Fantasy situation, very similar.
Absolutely. So I guess we'll go to Eli. I won't waste your time with this one. When are you starting Eli? There's three times you're starting Eli. One, on the bye week? When your quarterback's on a bye week and you got nothing else going for you there, you're going to start Eli. Two, you lost the bet the previous week and the loser had to start Eli. And three, it's 2013. Other than that, you're not going to start Eli. He's just not a starting guy anymore.
No,
regardless of having the weapons that he has right now, I just can't trust him. He's missing so many throws. He's not seeing his targets. He's slow to move in the pocket. His reading of the play is just awful. So don't go with Eli this week. That being said, you're still going to start Odell Beckham Jr. here. We're looking at 53 receptions, 649 yards, only 2 touchdowns though on the year. So that's a little concerning. But again, that kind of goes back to Eli at that point in time. You know, if Eli's not getting the ball out, there was a play last week, it may not have been Beckham, I can't fully recall, where Eli had the ball in a 3rd-and-goal, 4th-and-goal situation. Receiver broke to the right. He had him wide open for a touchdown in the corner of the end zone, and he held it and held it and held it, and the coverage was there, and it was gone. So, but Beckham, especially in a PPR fantasy format, you're going to get your touches. You're going to get your receptions. He's still going to get you 10-plus points there. You're going to start him. Evan Engram. So, gosh, the kid's got talent. He's just inconsistent. He's injured. And he can't stay on the field.
And he has Eli Manning as his quarterback.
And then here you go again.
Who's clearly lost something, unfortunately.
Absolutely. So, Engram, I'm not going to start him this week. You were talking Trey Burton last game there. I actually sat Burton in one of my leagues last week for Engram. And I will not do that again.
You're in the majority. Yep. A lot of people sat Trey Burton last week.
Absolutely.
A lot of people. That's not going to happen again.
No, will not happen for me
not
again. That's
in the
for
near
sure.
Future anyway.
And then, of course, the other guy to keep an eye on with Sterling. 36, 503, and 2. He's kind of been the unheralded, not talked about receiver there.
Solid guy with good hands.
Yep. Absolutely.
Catches the football. That's a key. That's a guy you need, especially when the weather gets cold.
So, and then you have Alex Smith going over to the skin side of the ball. 196 pass attempts this year. I'd love, and I didn't get a chance to pull back versus what he had done in previous years. He's very conservative with the ball. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He has, 2 picks on the year? So, Alex Smith is a guy that, you know, again, you can start him. I don't love to start him, but if you need to start him, start him. Adrian Peterson's probably going to be the best player in this game for them. So, again, the 20th ranked running defense of the Giants. Adrian Peterson's been in a horse. That's the guy you're going to go ahead
Fountain of youth.
Exactly. It's almost like a resurgence after a couple pit stops last year in Arizona. And, I'm losing the Saints. Peterson's going to be your go-to. CT, Chris Thompson, though, 4.3 yards per carry. He's doing well for himself, 26 receptions. He's a good flex option for you there. Again, against that 20th-ranked run defense, you're going to see a mixed-match kind of run-heavy game, I think, as far as the defense or as far as the offense of the Skins is concerned. And then Jordan Reed is obviously a must-start there. He's the leading receiver for Washington right now. So better than any of the wideouts or lack of wideouts, should I say, that they have going on there. That's the guy that I'm going to go ahead and look at and say, yeah, you definitely got to start him. Like you said, this will probably be a continual theme. There are a few rare tight ends that you can consistently count on in the NFL this year, and it seems to be a dwindling position in terms of fantasy value, except for the small crop of 5 or 6 guys. Jordan Reed's going to give you some value.
Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis, 1 week up, last week completely it just vanished, didn't he?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right. We're going to move on to the game that's going to be the shootout of the week. This game is like the Bengals and the Buccaneers. This is going to be a game like flag football. This is going to be like recess at Charles Mann Elementary down in Dundalk. You know, the ball's going to be flying all over the playground today, and here's why. The Bengals, 29th against the pass, 15 touchdowns, 300 yards a game. Tampa Bay, the worst in the NFL. For you old school guys, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers remind me of the 81 Baltimore Colts with Larry Brazil and Doug Nettles. They couldn't cover anybody. But let's take a look. We're going to start off with Tampa Bay here. They're on the road. Jameis Winston, a guy I've never been a big fan of, never, ever, ever been a big fan of. I love him this week. He's my number 2 quarterback on the board. I keep looking at this and I keep thinking that I don't know how I wrote this down, but he's this matchup is just unbelievable. Averaging 377 yards and almost three touchdowns a game the past couple weeks, he is absolutely positively a must start. I'm telling you, he is a must start over virtually everybody in the NFL this week. He's going to be throwing the ball. He's going to be throwing the ball to Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson. I've got Mike Evans 17 on my board, DeSean Jackson 28th. You know, Mike Evans hasn't scored a touchdown in the last two, but it's had 165 yards. DeSean Jackson, 214 yards the past couple games, three touchdowns on the year. Did have that rushing TD against the Browns. But the key with DeSean Jackson, 22 targets. Jameis Winston really, really likes going to him. But my sleeper on the passing game this week is going to be Godwin. Chris Godwin is going to be the guy that's going to get a lot of single coverage. He's going to run out of the slot. And the Bengals can't cover. I mean, they are just so horrible. And they certainly can't cover man-to-man. Chris Godwin's going to have a big week. Grab him off the waiver wire. You can put him in. You can put him in front of almost virtually anybody. I think Chris Godwin's going to have 100 yards today and a touchdown, no question. From the tight end position, I'm a little disappointed in O.J. Howard this year. Although he has 129 yards and a touchdown in his last two games, the Bengals, they cover everybody horribly, but they seem to cover the tight end even worse than everybody else. Cameron Brate's still around, so he's going to sneak stuff away. So which one do you use, right?
Exactly.
Brate or Howard, right? O.J. Howard's 12th, Cameron Brate 26th in my list, but that's hard to pick, but I would go with O.J. Howard. But the other thing the Bengals have allowed at least eight receivers to go over 67 yards this year. And fantasy for fantasy, that's just absolutely incredible. So on the passing side, everybody's in play this week for Tampa. The obvious guys are Evans and Jackson. People are going to start them anyway. Jameis Winston has never been this high on a board anywhere in fantasy. Number two this week. But Chris Godwin's the guy that I really like. And believe it or not, in a point per reception league, I like little Adam Humphries too. If you're desperate, point per reception, Adam Humphries is going to have at least five catches today. So if you need those 5 points and you don't have anywhere else to go due to your situation, go to Adam Humphries. But let's talk about the running game. This is something else where the Bengals aren't doing that well. The Bengals are 28th against the run. They are allowing 128 yards a game, but 5 yards a carry. But the Buccaneers only have one rushing touchdown this year. That was Ronald Jones last week. He's only averaging 3.6 yards a carry. Peyton Barber, 3.5. But the Bengals, the last two games, people have averaged 6.2 yards a carry the last two games. They can't cover. They can't tackle.
Wow.
So it's like weakness against weakness. What do?
Right.
Well, you know what? You go to Ronald Jones II if you're desperate for a running back this week. I'm not high on him as a sleeper, moderately as a sleeper this week, okay? Chris Godwin, though, is my top sleeper on the offensive side of the ball for Tampa. But the rest of the passing game, good. But if you got to dig deep, Ronald Jones is your guy. I like him much better than Peyton Barber this week. If people are flipping a coin, go to Ronald Jones II. Let's switch over to the Bengals and Andy Dalton. He's going to be a no-brainer start this week against the worst pass defense in the NFL this year and maybe one of the worst in the last 20 years of the NFL. These guys are horrible. Think about this. The Buccaneers have allowed 5 of their last 6 quarterbacks they face to pass between 334 and 439 yards. I dug deep for that stat. But I'm telling you, that's terrible. And yeah, they've allowed at least one receiver in every game to get 88 yards.
Wow.
So, I mean, we all know, we're not even going to talk about A.J. Green. We know how wonderful he is.
Right.
But this week, Tyler Boyd, I think Tyler Boyd is going to exceed A.J. Green's receiving stats. That's my other prediction. We'll start A.J. Green. I'm not suggesting in a million years, but to sit him. But Tyler Boyd, hot guy this week, 482 yards on the season, 4 touchdowns, 14 for 133 and 2 the last two. But Tyler Boyd's going to have a big game, and he's got M.J. Stewart, the worst defensive back in the NFL, covering him. And also, for the record, Mike Smith is defensive coordinator, the old Raven line coach, and did a great job at the Falcons. Job security can't be there for him. He's just doing a horrible job. As far as at tight end, Uzomah's having a great year. I got him 11th on the board. Eifert and Croft are both out. So he has 17 for 184 and two touchdowns. So you need to, you got to use this guy.
Right.
Running the football, there's one thing where the Bucs have done a great job. Only 90 yards a game, ranked fourth, 6 touchdowns. Joe Mixon is going to be more of a threat. But
I didn't throw you off the game.
There you go. There you go. Mike Smith is fired. There you go. Mark Duffner, the old Maryland guy. There you go. Mark Duffner, the old linebacker coach. Joe Mixon. Hey, Joe Mixon, no 100-yard games this year, but 3 of 5 for 80. He's going to struggle. He's going to have he's not going to go above 60 yards today in a game where they're going to be throwing the ball a lot. And also remember this. The Buccaneers held Kamara to 29 yards. They held Connor to 61. I think Andy Dalton is going to be playing flag football today. So let's focus on every Bengal receiver. Tyler Boyd does better than A.J. Green. C.J. Uzomah will be one of your top 5 receiving tight ends this week. Oh. I'm not too hot on the Bengal passing game. But this game, Vegas tells me 54.5. These guys are going to combine for almost 70 points today.
Wow. That is a shootout.
Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be a big one. Shootout. A shootout is an understatement for that one.
All right, Kurt. Well, let's go ahead and take a break now.
And we'll get back into these games when we come back from commercial break here. And again, I'm Adam Bonacorsi with Russell Street Report, joined by Kurt Backert of Pro Football Researchers Association.
And we are here on the Fantasy Power Hour at Conrad Seafood at 9654 Bellair Road in Perry Hall, Maryland. And come out and join us for the second half when we go over the rest of the games
here. The best oysters in Baltimore County, not even close.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we will be back here shortly. All right, welcome back. This is Adam Bonacorsi and Kurt Backert with Russell Street Report. Kurt of the Pro Football Researchers Association as well. And we are here with the Fantasy Power Hour located right now. We're hanging out at Conrad Seafood in Perry Hall, Maryland.
Lucky us.
Right? So make sure you guys are out here. Come catch our back half of this thing. And if not, definitely get out here for the game today. Some great drink specials going on during the game. Obviously, Ravens-Panthers here at 1 o'clock. So, without further ado, Kurt, let's jump back into this thing here as we go through all the games from a fantasy perspective for week
The season is flying.
Way right.
So I'm going to jump back in, Kurt. Seahawks at Lions. Lions with a three-point advantage this week at the home field. So basically a wash-type game. You're talking about pass-heavy games. I'm going to go to the flip side here and give you a run-heavy game. So the Seahawks are 24th against the run. Lions 29th against the run. Both defenses are top 10 against the pass. So this is going to be a run-heavy game. Let's go jump into the Lions because that's where I'm really focused this week. Kerryon Johnson. He has been coming on strong. A rookie who started the year awful quiet. Is starting to steal touches a little at a time from LeGarrette Blount. And now here we are. Kerryon Johnson is going to have himself a huge game. I'm sorry. I had a bad note here. I don't think he's actually going to have 540 yards and one touchdown. I'm glad you guys aren't seeing my
he's
notes
not Jim
in this
Brown.
Book. So let's go ahead with this. He's had over 540 yards and a touchdown this year. I think he's going to have a couple to go into this game as well. Stafford's still doing the pass-heavy offense that he's been doing, 12 touchdowns, 5 picks this year. He's averaging over 35 pass attempts a game through this season. But I don't think it's going to be as pass-heavy this week. I think we're going to be somewhere in the 25 to 28 range for Stafford and his attempts this week as they go very run-focused. Now, LeGarrette Blount may steal a couple touches in the goal line. I don't expect him to be a big focus. He could be a flex guy for you at best. I'm not starting him this week, and you shouldn't be anyway. If you're going to start anybody else in that offense, Golden Tate and Kenny Golladay, I think that's the way to go. Again, it's a really good pass defense for the Seahawks. They're third-ranked right now. I'm still going to go Golladay. Big body guy. God, I've heard some Calvin Johnson comparisons as far as body type and size and his hands. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you got to go there with him. Beyond that, let's go over to the Seahawks side. Russell Wilson, he's chucking the ball around a lot. But here's an interesting one for you. How many rush touchdowns do you think Wilson has this year? Zero. That's right. A big fat zero. Actually kind of threw me off guard. But again, we're talking about these run-heavy games. I'm going to call him for one this week in the run game. I don't think he's going to throw it in. He has 13 pass touchdowns this year. It's great. Only 4 picks. He's still running for his life as much as he can. But I think that's the week for him. So Chris Carson is a guy you're going to see heavy touches from. He's had a strong hold on that running back one spot. 78 carries, 352 yards, and a touch. Mike Davis, though, has been coming on strong in recent weeks, coming out of Carson's injury. So you had Carson's week out injury. Coming back in, slowly working him in. Davis is kind of him phasing out, but you're still talking about a guy who had a strong week 6, working his way back up. So from there, I guess Tyler Lockett is your number one receiver there. Go ahead and start him.
Great hands.
And how about this one? David Moore. Do we know who David Moore is?
David Moore. Well, there was a David Moore to play for the Raiders in the 60s. I don't think it's the same guy.
Right, and it's also not a brother of C.J. Moore, as far as I'm concerned, who we'll see today in Baltimore. So David Moore in the last two games for the Seahawks, 5 receptions, 85 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Fantastic.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and take that gamble on a flex spot for him. Yeah. So that's kind of where we're looking right now, guys. Marvin Jones, I guess, another guy to quickly talk about. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. He's the number 3 receiver now. He started the season as a 1. I'm not impressed. If you're really desperate, go for it. But there's so many good receivers out there. And, Kurt, you touched on it. It's a very pass-happy league this year. You don't need a Marvin Jones in your lineup this week. You can find a guy who's going
to
produce
That's
for
shocking
you.
To say that because he's always been a phenomenal guy.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting – yeah, I'm moving to the 118th meeting between the Broncos and the Chiefs. This rivalry goes back to 1960, and the odds makers say that we've got a 54 over-under on this. It's a big one. Case Keenum, not looking good, not justifying the big money that they gave to him. And here's a guy that, you know, has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns, but he does face the 31st ranked pass defense of the Chiefs, 316 yards a game. They've given up 11 touchdowns, 19 sacks, which, you know, they've had big leads, so that makes a lot of sense. Case Keenum, the last time they played, played earlier this year. This is a repeat matchup. You know, no touchdowns, 1 interception. So Case Keenum, my 21st ranked quarterback, I wouldn't use him unless you're absolutely desperate.
Right.
He's just not the guy. But Emmanuel Sanders, you know, over 100 yards and 1 touchdown the last two. 22 for 289 the last two games. Only 5 for 45 against the Chiefs, but But, you know, he's my 12th-ranked wide receiver. We're going to use him. Demaryius Thomas, big disappointment, but it's my 25th-ranked guy against that weak Chief pass defense. I still like him. So I think Demaryius Thomas is kind of a semi-sleeper, right, guys? So, but as far as a passing game, Sanders a no-brainer. At tight end, Jeff Heuerman, 14 for 130. Don't even touch him. Don't even touch him. So even though the Chiefs are horrible against the pass, I really am not very excited about anything going on with the Bronco passing game except the obvious in Emmanuel Sanders and maybe, you know, Demaryius Thomas. He's only had one game more than 70 yards, so I'm not too excited. Here's where I am excited. Kansas City, 15th against the run, averaging 5.2 yards a carry, third most rushing TDs, 9. But here's the thing about the Chiefs' rush defense. The longest rush of the year is only 26 yards. That's not big for the longest rush. In other words, they're giving up a lot of 5, 6, 7 yard carries, which translates to me, Philip Lindsay. He's going to have a monster game with Royce Freeman out. Philip Lindsay averaging 4.5 yards a carry, had 131 yards and 2 TDs against, you know, a Cardinal team that is you know, a disaster. But Philip Lindsay's going to have a big game, especially, like we said, without Royce Freeman. Devontae Booker, look for a goal line carry. If you're desperate, you might be able to sneak 6 points out of Devontae Booker at the goal line today to give Lindsay a little bit of break when they get inside the 3-yard line. But offensively, I'm okay with Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, but Philip Lindsay is my big star for the Denver Broncos today. Like we said, everybody scores in this league nowadays. Phillip Lindsay gets in the end zone. I'm also predicting a 1-yard touchdown for Devontae Booker. You can pick up 6 points if you desperately need it. Let's switch sides. The Ivy. We're not going to talk about Patrick Mahomes. This kid is unbelievable. I still don't believe the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. It's another story for another day. We won't talk too much about him. He's just absolutely phenomenal. Four games with 4 TDs. The pass defense, though, for the Broncos, it's okay. They're 10th, 229 yards a game. They have 22 sacks. I expect Mahomes to get sacked a couple times today. Tariq Hill, unbelievable. Over 60 yards for 3 straight weeks. We know he's a no-brainer start. 210 yards, 4 touchdowns the last 2 games. Here's the guy that I think, though, the sleeper, Sammy Watkins. Everything's going to rotate to Tariq Hill. Sammy Watkins was absolutely no factor in their earlier meeting this year. Only 92 yards in his last 2 games. There's your sleeper on the passing side today. We know about Mahomes and Hill. Sammy Watkins has a great day. DeMarcus Robinson also is going to get open here and there. So keep that in mind. And, of course, Travis Kelce, my number one ranked tight end. We don't need to even get into him. We know what he can do.
Definitely
he hasn't
there.
Scored in the last 3 weeks, though, but he had 78 yards and a touchdown against the Broncos earlier this year. Last year he had a game, he had 133 yards on a touchdown. He really, really likes to go. He's just phenomenal. But here's where, you know, against the run, the Broncos are 30th. 148 yards a game, 5.3 yards a carry for the entire season. Both Kareem Hunt and Spencer Ware. We know we're going to use Kareem Hunt, but the receptions are absolutely incredible. 10 for 160 in the last 2 games. He's rushed for 166 yards. You know, when they played last time, he had 121 yards against Denver. So we know we're going to use Kareem Hunt, but as far as sleeper, we're going to go with Spencer Ware. Spencer Ware is your change of pace back. He's going to score today, as is Sammy Watkins. Chiefs win the ball game, but Spencer Ware and Sammy Watkins are your surprise guys today.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, that sounds like a it's going to be an interesting game to see. You know, you talk about iron sharpens iron being a thing. That's like the opposite when you're talking about the Broncos junkie offense or pass offense versus the junkie pass defense.
What do you do?
Yeah. Exactly.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly.
Something's got to happen.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and take it to a little more exciting game. Packers at the Rams. Rams 7.5-point favorite. God, tell me the last time an Aaron Rodgers-led team was a 7.5-point underdog at any point.
Never.
Oh,
never.
Absolutely.
That's probably his biggest
absolutely.
Underdog. Right.
So the one thing that kind of jumped out to me right away, you know, you think Rams, you think this great defense, and they're 12th against the run and 9th against the pass. That's good. It's not great. The Packers have the 5th-ranked pass defense. Had no idea. So you're looking at a game where you're going to have Jared Goff and this pass offense that's going to be missing Cooper Kupp going against the
fifth-ranked pass defense. That should be interesting. Goff, though, has been, for me, a top-five quarterback this year, and he's not doing the Mahomes light-up-the-sky thing necessarily, but he's managing his game well. He has 14 touchdowns, 5 picks. I'm starting him in a few leagues, actually, almost every single week at this juncture in time, and having a guy like Gurley back there has really helped to take the focus off of him. But really, they can attack you so many ways on the Rams' side of the ball. You really don't know what to do. So guys will hone in on Todd Gurley, who, by the way, is on track to break the all-time touchdown record, rushing touchdown record.
Wow.
Set by LaDainian Tomlinson. Yeah. So in a season, obviously, not career. We're not there yet. But, yeah, he's on track to break that record right now.
It's good to see football back in the L.A. Coliseum anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Packers, 22nd-ranked rush defense. You're obviously going to start Gurley no matter what. That just makes it even more enticing. He's probably going to grab a couple more touchdowns today and break 100 yards for me. Woods and Brandon Cooks, obviously the two big receivers there. Between the two of them, they're both right in the ballpark of 30 to 40 catches, about 600 yards, a pair of touchdowns, 3 touchdowns. So they're doing well. They're very good complementary receivers. Having Kupp in there is great. They still got this thing under control. And again, having a guy like Gurley really helps take the burden off losing a big receiver in your passing.
We're starting both. Who do you like better?
Between Woods and Cook?
Absolutely.
I like Brandon Cooks better.
Me too. I'm with you there.
Absolutely.
Okay, Brandon Cooks has a nudge over him. That's huge, though. That's going to be huge.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people's lineups today between those two guys.
Absolutely. And you look at the tight ends there. Can you name the tight ends?
Last time I can name a tight end for the Rams is Bob Klein in 1970. So there you go.
Point taken. So they have a couple young guys. Nobody's going to do anything, basically. Right. And then I'm just going to leave it at that. We're not going to get into the medial stats. You don't have offensive focuses on the tight ends, and honestly, that's perfectly okay for them. They're doing well with it. Haven't lost yet. Why, you know, fix what's not broken? So let's go ahead and move to the other side of the ball with the Packers. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, if you will, as he gets a lot of that, he's on fire, but he's coming off a bye week. So you have a guy with one knee, 1 week, you know, rest on that one knee. I think he's going to come in here and do some damage, you know, ninth-ranked pass defense, whatever. It's Aaron Rodgers. And I'll tell you what a big factor is going to be. You have Randall Cobb coming back this week. That's going to play huge. So you have Devontae, you have Randall Cobb. Both of those are great plays. But you've also seen some improvements from guys like Allison and Valdez-Scantling over there in Green Bay. So now you get these young receivers who got their time to shine and help improve the pass game. Now you don't have to focus on them as much as your go-to guy. You have Devontae there. You have Randall Cobb coming back. You still have Jimmy Graham in that game, who obviously you're going to start. So you have this myriad of receivers out there that Aaron Rodgers can hit. Devontae's an obvious start. I think Cobb is the obvious start, and Jimmy Graham. The other guys, I'm not playing them this week. But you're definitely going to start Aaron Rodgers. Now, if you look at the pass game, and then we'll move on to the next game from there. I'm sorry, in the run game, I apologize. In the run game, you have Aaron Jones, right? The other Aaron of the team. So you have Aaron Jones isn't getting the love he deserves to get. Jamal Williams is getting that love. But if you look at it, you have Aaron Jones, 5.9 yards per carry. Jamal Williams is doing 3.8. There's a massive disparity between the two. And Aaron Jones should be seeing more touches, and that could happen this week. But right now, it's still the Jamal Adams game. Unfortunately, he's not racking up the yards because of that lower yard per carry. So if you're on a whim and you need a spot, one of those two guys could be the right move. I'm going to tell you to play Aaron Jones. It's going to end up backfiring on me, but that's the guy I'm going to play this week.
It's not going to backfire on you. I'm going to give you the Elias Sports Bureau Kurt Backert stat of the week.
Let's see it.
Green Bay has gone into the L.A. Coliseum 7 times when the Rams have been undefeated.
Right.
They've won 4 of those football games.
Wow.
Green Bay wins the game today. The Rams are knocked out of the 72 Dolphins are safe.
Wow.
Packers win that football game today, and they will run the ball.
Awesome.
So I like what you had to say about that.
Awesome.
Are we moving on to the Browns and Steelers? Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
Excitement there, isn't
right?
it? Yeah, 21-21 tie to begin the season. These are not the Cleveland Browns of the past 3-4 years. Hugh Jackson, I know I'm hearing about all this bull crap about them arguing with Todd. Todd Haley fights with everybody. His father, Dick Haley, who was a great defensive back with the Steelers, fought with everybody when he played as well, too. So it's in the blood. Browns and Steelers, 134th meeting, goes back to 1950. Baker Mayfield, though, gives the Browns a chance to win. 4 TDs in his last 3 games. When they met opening day, Tyrod Taylor was the quarterback, only went 15 of 40. And the Steelers against the pass, they were 27. So we'd say that there'd be some opportunity. But nobody in the Browns outside of the tight end, and we'll talk about him in a second, is stepping up from a wide receiver. I've got Jarvis Landry as my 18th-ranked wide receiver. we can call him a mild sleeper this week because I think that he's going to have another good game. He went over 100 against the Steelers opening day. His last four games, 200 yards. So he's averaging 50 a game and half a touchdown over those last four games, two TDs. He's somebody to keep an eye on. I think he gets in the end zone. The problem he has is his complimentary other guy, Antonio Callaway, 6 for 45 his last three games. Cleveland desperately with all those wide receivers. They're desperate. I mean, they're desperate to get a second wide receiver to help Jarvis Landry. They're going to have to reach out in the draft for that.
Absolutely.
The only guy that stepped up in the passing game for them, though, was David Njoku. Fantastic, fantastic guy. 17 for 176 and two touchdowns. But here's the big stat. Remember we talked earlier how the tight end in fantasy at this point of the year, it's more about the defense. The Steelers in the last five games have allowed at least 50 yards receiving to a tight end. It happens again. I believe David Njoku gets in the end zone because we'll talk in a second. Cleveland won't run the ball today very well, despite what they think about Nick Chubb. Njoku gets in the end zone not once. I think he gets in twice.
Wow.
He scores awesome. Twice today and has over 50 yards. He's one of my premier players of the week, even though it's in Pittsburgh. Running the football, again, the Steelers, only 97 yards a game, ranked 6th against the rush. They trade Carlos Hyde away to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They love Nick Chubb, 4.4 yards a game against Tampa Bay, and Tampa has a decent run defense, as we talked a little bit earlier. And he's 1 yard better at carry than Carlos Hyde was. That does say something, but I don't think it's going to help. The first time these guys played, Cleveland gashed Pittsburgh for 177 yards. You know the Steelers will do what they need to do, right. Do the film work, shut it back down. I think the only value today coming out of that backfield is old dependable Duke Johnson, 8 catches, 96 yards the last 2 weeks. I think Duke is going to get 5 or 6 catches. I think the Browns are going to be all pass heavy today. Nothing out of the backfield. Njoku is going to have a great day. Landry tossed the coin. I think Landry has over 80 yards receiving, so he'll get you a few points that way. But Njoku gets in twice, and that's going to be it for Cleveland on the offensive side of the football today. They're not going to do a whole lot. Let's turn the tables a little bit. We all know Ben Roethlisberger and his history against the Browns. 38 touchdown passes in 22 games against them historically. He has averaged an interception a game against them, though. But the Browns are 26 against the pass, but only have allowed 9 touchdowns. We know about Antonio Brown. Don't need to talk about him. Juju Smith-Schuster, I have him 10th. Can I call him a sleeper?
Nah,
not really. But
it's up here in Yak on the
yeah, here's
top
the guy.
Five.
Opening day, 111 yards against them, and he's going to be covered by Demarius Randle, who is the weakest cover guy that the Browns have. Denzel Ward will be on Antonio Brown. He's my pick for Defensive Rookie of the Year. This kid's incredible.
Denzel Ward's phenomenal.
But this guy Randle, he can't cover. So Smith-Schuster's going to have a big day. Sleeper, I don't know. But he gets in the end zone once. Not twice, but he'll get in the end zone.
Wow.
The Browns.
Yep.
The Browns are the Browns. 134 yards a game, 29th against a rush. Second most, 10 rushing touchdowns. We don't even need to talk about James Conner. He's going to have a big day. So the Steelers, there's not a lot of surprises, although I think Smith-Schuster will mirror Antonio Brown's yardage today.
Awesome. And before we jump in here, again, we are the Fantasy Power Hour. This is Adam Bonacorsi and Kurt Backert with Russell Street Report. And we are over at Conrad Seafood in Perry Hall, broadcasting this morning, leading up to the 1 o'clock games here.
With a spirited crowd coming in here.
Absolutely. We're starting to filter in here. And definitely get out and join us as we wind down here and hang out for these specials. So I just wanted to touch on these specials because I'm definitely jumping in here. So we have $12 domestic buckets this morning, $17 Corona buckets. I'm looking at these 550 crushes, though. So that may be maybe where I'm jumping in for an orange crush.
I'd already be on the Coronas if I wasn't on the air.
So let's go ahead and move on, Kurt. And let's talk about the 49ers and cards. So, God, this is a
game, right?
But there's a guy playing in this game who I love.
You've got some thoughts. I'll start with the guy that I don't love.
Who?
Josh Rosen.
Oh, my gosh. He's horrible, isn't he?
So we get a lot of flack here in Baltimore about Lamar Jackson and that draft pick and how he's going to work out and what he is and what he will be. For me, and I've said it since the draft, Josh Rosen is the worst of the bunch. He does nothing for me. He does nothing for me. And I watched this kid in college, and I watched him, you know, go through the draft process, and we're watching him now. He's a sub-60% completion guy. I don't like his vision. I don't like what he brings to the table altogether. He has He has the build of a.
He's Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, there you go. Thank
He's
you.
Blaine Gabbert.
Thank you. That's why
he's not
best.
Ryan Leaf.
No.
He's Blaine Gabbert.
No. I think that's the best way to put it here.
There you go.
So
very well put, sir.
Right out of the bat, if you're starting Rosen, you're desperate. So I start that because the point I'd like to make is I have a league that I'm playing in right now. It's a 10-team, 2-QB league. Guys are stashing thirds. So there's essentially 28 to 30 QBs off the board. And I have Phillip Rivers on a bye this week of one of my two QBs. I have Goff starting as well. So guess who I had to go in and jump with?
Derek Anderson.
Right. I actually almost did.
Good
I
man.
Almost did. I put in Rosen.
Yeah, but you had to think about Derek Anderson and how sad is that?
That's where
God
I
bless Derek Anderson 10 years ago, but
God
not today.
Forbid, I got to the point where I thought, man, what about like Lamar Jackson or Taysom Hill as a trick play just
that's
for six
not,
points?
That's right.
That's how the bad that's not a bad thought process. Josh Rosen has gotten for me.
Good thought process there.
So Rosen does nothing. If you're starting him, you're desperate, or again, you lost a bet. David Johnson. So here's my thought with David Johnson. He's been so underutilized this year. He's been a bust of a pick for most people, but he's still such a phenomenal talent. Having a new offensive coordinator out there in Arizona with Byron Leftwich, and first thing you think about with Byron Leftwich.
He beat the Ravens in the striped jerseys when he played for the Steelers.
Oh, I didn't think about that. First thing that comes to my mind is Marshall playing with the broken leg, carrying down the field. That's
Thundering herd.
And it seems like it was only a few years ago. So yeah. Leftwich is the new offensive coordinator in Arizona. I'm hoping, praying, because I have David Johnson in a couple leagues, that he's going to start seeing a better usage, better pass catching, you know, plays set up for him out of the backfield. So he's still going to be a start for me no matter what. Ricky Seals-Jones, he's a really deep, like really, really deep tight end for me. He's essentially done nothing. A couple weeks ago, we had 5 catches, 69 yards. Okay, I'll take that in a PPR league. You're taking 11 and change. But last week, he had 2 for 12. So you don't know what you're going to get there. It's a crapshoot. New coordinator, again, it's kind of a weird situation. Christian Kirk has been the best receiver on that team, better than Larry Fitz, who's proving that grandfather time, or father time. No, he's got grandfather time at this point in time. Father time is starting to catch up to him. That and a bad quarterback and a bad offensive line and a bad offensive coordinator up to this point. I'm hoping he gets a resurgence. Honestly, I do. And we have the trade deadline coming up in a few days here. It'll be interesting to see if he stays put.
He had his first touchdown last week.
Yes, he did. Yes,
he did. First TD, 40 yards and a touchdown last week.
You know how many wide receivers have caught touchdowns for Arizona this year?
Two.
Christian Kirk has one, and Larry Fitz has another. So that's kind of where we are at this juncture in time with that offense. It sucks. You flip the ball, 49ers offense. If we had Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe a little better. But I'm a fan of C.J. Beathard's loose cannon ways. I am. 7 touchdowns in 4 games, but also 7 picks. But you know what? He goes out there every single play, and he's ready to strap the helmet back on and go at it.
If you're in a league that doesn't penalize for turnovers, which most do, he's a hell of a good pick.
I agree with that. God bless feedback. So, you know, you go beyond that, and I'm looking at
Matt Breida, right?
So Breida's always going to be a good start for you there. 6.5 yards per carry. Alfred Morris is at 3.6.
Would you believe they still have split touches?
Yeah.
Why do they have split touches?
It makes no sense to me. And Breida's better in the passing game, too. Start Breida, sit Morris. Kittle, third best tight end this year in terms of reception yards.
So fantasy points, it really depends on your formatting. He's probably up there in top 3, top 5, no matter what.
But Kittle's the guy that you're going to want to go ahead and start. Goodwin has been kind of this year for them. God, and I can't tell you how many times I've gotten the Goodwin and the Goblins all swept and flopped there.
Goodwin only has 11, 204, and 3 this year. But he's actually starting to trend up for me. He had a bad game versus the Rams. Fine, whatever. He's trending in the right direction now. And Garcon, right now, again, one of those flip-flop guys.
Father time, old
right?
man.
1 catch for 5 yards last week.
Yeah.
That's it. On 2 targets. So it's a crapshoot out there. If you're playing anybody out there, I'm playing Beathard in the deep. Again, if he would have been there, I would have taken him over Rosen or Derek Anderson. You're definitely going to play Kittle. You're definitely going to play Breida. That's about it as far as that offense goes. Maybe you're playing Kyle Juszczyk and you're thinking Juice is a good running back for a really deep flex there. He's actually third in receiving yards on that team. So it's a thought, but that's about as much as you're really going to get yourself in there. You know, it's going to be a low-scoring affair.
It's not an exciting matchup. The one thing I will say about this, Larry Fitzgerald has scored more touchdowns against the 49ers than anybody else.
All right.
The old man gets in today.
Absolutely.
There you go. I think the old-timer scores another one.
There you go.
But, you know. All right, we're going to move to a ball game that means a lot to me. As you can guess, I love old history, right?
Right.
So, Colts against the Raiders. I hate Indianapolis, but These two ball clubs have played in two of the most important games in Baltimore football history. It's a rematch of the 1970 AFC title game, the first AFC championship game ever. We beat them right here in Baltimore. And the last playoff game the Baltimore Colts ever played, that 77 overtime loss. So this game has a lot of rich history to us Baltimoreans. This game also has a lot of luggage involved. The Raiders started out in Minneapolis in 1960, moved to Oakland, played in San Francisco for a couple of years, moved to Los Angeles, back to Oakland, going to Las Vegas. This is a Gucci luggage game. And, of course, the Colts with the Indianapolis, the Baltimore thing. I mean, this is the moving bowl, right?
Right.
But let's jump right into it. Andrew Luck, no more doubts about him. Four touchdowns in three of his last four games. He's blowing away everybody. 377 yards, 7 TDs. I've got him number 7. I think I ranked him a little bit too low. The Raiders pass defense, 22nd. Only 7 sacks. When Andrew Luck isn't going to get touched, he's going to tear everybody up. His problem, he's not exactly throwing to the wide receiving core of the 81 San Diego Chargers. So, T.Y. Hilton's back. T.Y. Hilton, you have to start him, but I want to make this point. Four of his first 25 receptions this season, he's got 4 touchdowns. That ratio is the best in NFL history on a minimum of 25 catches. It's unbelievable. Keep that in mind. He's scoring every time he touches the football. But here's my sleeper of the week. Well, another sleeper of the week. Chester Rogers. I've got him way down deep, but Chester Rogers is going to get in the end zone at least once and have more than 80 yards receiving this week.
That's an interesting one.
Right. 55 yards against the Jets, 40 yards against the Bills. Hilton, they're going to rotate all over the place to stop him. Chester Rogers is going to have a big day today. At tight end, we know everybody's going to start Eric Ebron. 15 targets inside the red zone. That's number one in the NFL. Number one in the NFL,
wow.
Eric Ebron. Jack Doyle's back. It'll take some luster off of him, but I wouldn't worry about
it. Not much, yeah.
Right. So the Colt passing game, we know Ebron's a start. We know Hilton's a start, but I love Chester Rogers. The Colts get in the end zone. Running the football, though, Marlon Mack's back, isn't he? You know, the Raiders, 22nd against the rush. They're no good anywhere, 131 yards a game. So they're not doing much at all. But Marlon Mack, 6.94 yards a carry in his last two games. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Right, 22 of his 41 yards are over of his 22 of his last 41 carries are over 5 yards a carry. This guy's turning into a beast. He's healthy. Don't worry about what you're seeing on the injury report. He's starting. He's going to have a great day. This young man, Nyheim Hines, 32 receptions and 2 TDs. This guy is great. Points per reception. Dust him off. Get him ready in your lineup. If you need a running back and it's a point per reception league, this guy Hines is going to have a good day today. Catching the football.
Yes.
So as far as the Colts go, Marlon Mack's a no-brainer. He's my 9th. Hines is a sleeper. Chester Rogers is a sleeper. And the Colts are going to do very well. As far as the Raiders, I'm tired of hearing about this Derek Carr crying stuff. It doesn't really matter. It's only for the media. The Colts are ranked 19th against the pass and have 21 sacks. I'm not that excited about Derek Carr.
No.
Really, he only has one multiple TD pass game. Don't even think about Derek Carr today. Jordy Nelson. You would think with the Amari Cooper trade, you'd get excited about Jordy Nelson. He hasn't done anything. He's had a couple broken plays for touchdowns. 11 for 97 and 2 touchdowns his last 3. He's lost a step. I do think, though, he'll be a factor. He's going to clear out because my sleeper today on that side of the football is Martavius Bryant. He gets into the end zone today.
Interesting.
Martavius Bryant hasn't done anything. 5 for 31 against the Seahawks, 138 yards on a touchdown. On the year, nothing to get excited about. But John Gruden talked him up this week. The Colts will take away Jordy Nelson, Martavius Bryant. My sleeper, Jared Cook, 14 for 140 and 2 touchdowns his last 3, 400 yards over the season. So no doubt that Jared Cook has to be used, especially in a weak tight end pool with all the byes. But my sleeper on the passing game is Martavius Bryant this week. I don't think the Raiders win this game. I don't think they score a boatload of points. But Martavius Bryant gets in, and Jared Cook will have over 50 yards receiving. Running the ball without Marshawn Lynch, the Raiders are an absolute disaster. The Colts, though, are always bad against the run. But they held Adrian Peterson to 20 yards, and they held a very potent jet rush attack below 100 yards. So with that being said, I don't see Doug Martin or Jalen Richard doing much of anything this week. So I'm not excited about any Raider running back. If you're in a point per reception league and I feel the Raiders will play from behind, Jalen Richard, he catches the ball. 7 for 48 against the Seahawks. The only thing you can worry about, the only thing you want to do with the Raider running attack this week is Jalen Richard catching the football. Maybe if you're completely desperate, Doug Martin falls over the goal line from 1 yard out once they get in if they don't go to Cook. But I'm not excited. My only guy on the Raiders this week that I really like from a surprise standpoint is Bryant at wide receiver.
Awesome. All right, well, let's. We've got a couple left here to do, and we'll kill this thing. And I'm actually going to go through this one pretty quickly with the Saints and Vikes because it's two high power offenses. You're going to start a lot of guys, and we don't need to talk about them. So let's start with the Vikings here. So Kirk Cousins, you're going to start him, right? I don't think there's any question there. And if anything, the only question we have is, are Thielen and Diggs the top wide receiver tandem in the NFL? As far as I'm concerned, I think they're top yes. two. Top three. They're right up there, and I think it's such a hodgepodge mix that it's hard to really say who it is, but that kind of alludes to how pass-heavy and how offensive-heavy the league is this year. So I'm starting Thielen without a question. 6 receptions or more and 100 yards or more receiving every single game this year. He's a top three wideout in the NFL, and he's made his way from who to this kind of a stud, right. And it's unbelievable. I'm going to go ahead and start Diggs, but I'm not starting him in a starter position. I'm starting him in a flex. 333 and 833 the last two games. If you're playing PPR, you'll take 833. It's 11 points. If you're doing a standard league, you're still 3 points a game, so that's not that pretty, but I think he's going to see his touches here in this game. Kyle Rudolph, he's just kind of falling apart. One catch for 16 yards versus the Jets. Yeah. He's usually good for 4 to 5 catches, 40 to 60 yards in a game. Go ahead and start him. That's about, of a play that you're going to do. He could bust or he could boom for you. Cook's out, so you got that. Latavius Murray, 39, 224, and 3 the last two games. So 224 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns the last two games. So go ahead and start him as well. I'm going to go ahead and flip the field here. Well, let's talk about Drew Brees. Yeah, you're going to start him, the only QB without an interception this year. We were talking earlier about teams that are lacking quarterbacks. Fantasy teams that negate fantasy points for right. interceptions. Wow, we're all over the place. We're getting close to game time here, so we're getting a little crunchy. So there's a guy who's not going to, hurt you in that field at all and lose a point, lose 2 points there. Obviously, Michael Thomas is a stud. You're going to start him. Alvin Kamara, without a question, you're going to start him. Mark Ingram's been coming on. So yep. 2 games since coming back from the suspension, 28 touches, 85 yards, not great, but 2 touchdowns. Didn't do as well against Baltimore. I think he'll get in there again today and steal one of those goal lines from Kamara. But ultimately, you're not going to lose that much value in Kamara. And then beyond that, Ben Watson's been trending up of late. And I really think that may actually be because they lost Ted Ginn. And I know the two don't play the same position, but he's a reliable target with hands. So you're going to take what you're going to get there. And again, the last guy I'm going to talk about, Taysom Hill. Would it surprise me if he got in the end zone this week? Nope, not at all. And I'm going to hate playing Josh Rosen instead of sneaking him in there for the 6.
Yeah, there you go. All right, moving in. My Monday night game. We got the Patriots and the Bills. Not much to say about the New England Patriots. You know who the we know who the usual suspects are, but one thing I want to point out, Rob Gronkowski is going to play. He's going to play.
Absolutely.
So don't be afraid about Rob Gronkowski. On the wide receiver place, we know Edelman's the guy. Josh Gordon's coming in, my 27th-ranked wide receiver. But where the surprises come this week is in the running game. We know James White has been an absolute beast. 97 total yards, 2 touchdowns against the Bears, 5 TDs in the last 4 games. His 6 receiving touchdowns, 4 from inside the 10. So Brady's looking at him, inside the what I call the gold zone, inside the 5. But here's the key. Sleeper of the week, Kenyon Barner is going to get some carries, is going to score a touchdown. We know that they mix it up from a committee standpoint. Kenyon Barber is going to crash over the goal line Monday night for the New England Patriots. So Gronkowski plays. That's a little bit of a sleeper surprise because we didn't know. James White, no-brainer. He is just going to be a beast. Kenyon Barner is going to score. For the Bills, who cares about the Buffalo Bills? Derek Anderson, right. There's not a lot to get excited about, but the Patriots are 25th against the pass. Here is where this is the sleeper of sleepers. Nobody likes Kelvin Benjamin. He's, 4 for 71 and a touchdown, the last couple weeks.
Kelvin Benjamin.
But Derek Anderson and Kelvin Benjamin – when Kelvin Benjamin came up, Derek Anderson was the backup quarterback.
Right.
Mike Shula was the quarterback coach. They work together. One of the reasons why Derek Anderson got picked up is because of his relationship with Kelvin Benjamin. If you're desperate, Kelvin Benjamin will score a touchdown this week from Derek Anderson. They may lose the game 38-7.
Junk time.
That touchdown is coming
that
from.
That junk time touchdown always helps. Absolutely.
It's coming. Kelvin Benjamin comes in. Also, don't be afraid of LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy, 3.87 yards a carry. The Patriots don't scare anybody defensively. You know, so I like LeSean McCoy this week. He's going to get a lot of touches. And, 45 touches, 200 yards. His last two healthy games, 200 yards and 45 touches, his last two healthy games. He's out of concussion protocol. Don't be afraid to use him if you need another running back, like I said, at a flex or lower two. But Kelvin Benjamin gets in the end zone. So there's my last prediction of the day, a Kelvin Benjamin touchdown.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I think that does it for us here, Kurt, and that kind of covers all the games. And again, this is the Fantasy Power Hour. Adam Bonacorsi and Kurt Backert of Russell Street Report. Kurt, obviously, you know, with the Pro Football Researchers Association, which is great. I mean, you bring a lot of this.
A lot of throw the history in with the current stuff.
I love it.
It makes it a lot of fun.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, we thank all of you for joining us today and all of us who came out and joined us here at Conrad Seafood in Perry Hall. If you're not out here now and you'd like to come out and go ahead and, you know, if we're still here, hit us up. Ask us
bring some questions.
Bring
a list. We're gonna be here. It's crunch time now for guys to make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
These sleeper picks are the difference between you winning and you sitting home after Thanksgiving or in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
It's a key time. We're gonna be here, and I love nothing more. I'm one of those guys. I want to hear about your team.
I really do.
I want to hear about your team, and I want to. We can go through the matchups, and we can talk about our lists and our rankings from here and for the rest of the season. So I'm excited to help everybody out because it's a fun time of year. It's crunch time.
Absolutely. What a great time. So I appreciate it, Kurt, and we'll be doing this again.
Been a pleasure.
We'll continue to do this throughout the season, and make sure you're sending us your questions and staying tuned and keep an eye out on where we'll be. And we appreciate everybody joining us
here
today.
Yep, and we'll thank the good folks at Conrad's. I can't wait to dive
into
those oysters.
Yep, we're going to the Crush Bar. So,
all right.
Again, this is Fantasy Power Hour, and thank you guys for coming.